Cali Sober, the totally legal THC-infused mocktail. Cali Sober was created to provide a better alternative to alcohol. No dependence, no ulcers, no liver damage, and no nights you want to forget or mornings asking, what happened? They only use non-synthetic, all-natural Delta 9 THC derived from the hemp plant. It is the real deal. It's the same buzz, the same chill you'd expect from THC. Best of all, Cali Sober is federally legal because it is made with hemp-derived THC, which is a legal substance under the 2018 Farm Bill. If you're a restaurant, you can pick this up through Littman Brothers. They offer three different flavors: Paloma Spritz, Ranch Water, and Berry Ginger Fizz, all with less than 3% THC by volume, with 5 milligrams of THC per serving. Please enjoy responsibly. Hey guys, we're talking about the Chandler James retail team at Lee & Associates. We're talking about Miller Chandler and Leanne James. They are here to be your broker to find your next retail space. They're located downtown in the heart of it all at the Batman Building. They're serving all of Middle Tennessee. Both Miller and Leanne are both Tennessee natives, so you know they know the neighborhoods. They know everything you're looking for. They can help you find and negotiate terms on your next restaurant location. They represent both retail tenants and landlords in our market, which means they can also help you with lease versus buy decisions and act as your leasing agents should you ever decide to go all in and purchase commercial real estate. And I know what you're wondering. How do I get a hold of these amazing people? Because I am looking for retail property. You're going to call Miller Chandler, 615-473-2452, or Leanne James at 731-335-1121. That's the Chandler James retail team at Lee & Associates.
Welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio, the tastiest hour of talk in Music City. Now here's your host, Brandon Still.
Hello, Music City, and welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio. My name is Brandon Still, and I am your host. We are powered by Gordon Food Service, and we will be joined shortly with our co-host Caroline Galzin for this very special edition of The Roundup. Yes, The Roundup. We are back. This episode, if you are unfamiliar, is where Caroline and I just talk. We just kind of catch up. We both run very busy lives, and there's a lot of things happening in this industry, and a lot of times we'll sit in the studio and talk, and I go, we should just record this. So that's what this is. We go around and we talk about hot topics that are going on in the city, new restaurant openings, closures, what's hot, what's not. We talk about our own restaurants. It's just a fun episode that we do to kind of round up what's been going on in our lives, and this is the episode today. This is a fun one. We talk about everything. It's not super duper long, but it's good. It's always good to just to hang out and talk to Caroline. But I need your help out there. You'll notice that the cover art for this episode it's just like a picture of me. It's nothing special. I would love a really cool roundup, hashtag the roundup cover art for this episode, for these type of episodes. If you're good out there, I'd love to do kind of a contest of some kind. If you are like digital design and graphics, if you want to create a artwork for when we do the roundup, I would love to have artwork for this. Also, if you're a musician, I am looking to redo the intro to this podcast. My Welcome to Nashville Restaurant Radio. We want to redo that. So if you're a musician out there and you want to write a new intro to the show, we'll use it. I would love to have some musician out there do an intro to Nashville Restaurant Radio. I like the heavy, like that hard, you know, maybe I'm a Howard Stern guy, and that's what he does, and so I copy him. But if you want to come up with something different, I'm down. We would love to do this. So I don't have a lot to talk about today. Hopefully you had a great Valentine's Day, and hopefully you've got hopefully made a ton of money and everything worked out really well. We talk about that today on the episode. Where are the people? Where are all the people and what are you doing out there to increase sales? There's a lot of that conversation today in this episode. So hopefully enjoy it, but we are going to, let's get started with that. I don't want to wait any longer. Let's do it. The roundup.
Recording. Great. Hi.
Here we are. Okay. The roundup. Super excited today to welcome in Caroline Galzin.
It's me. I'm back.
I forgot how to do an intro for this show.
We haven't done a roundup in a long time. I think we're doing it now. I think we're doing the intro right now.
This is the intro?
This is it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the roundup. We haven't done a roundup in a long time. What is a roundup?
Roundup is where we just kind of like do like hot topics, just like what's in the news, what's going on around town, just kind of like a what's happening episode. What's happening with you, Brandon?
Oh my gosh. I'm still trying to figure out how to do three restaurants.
Okay.
And we moved GMs. Our GM from Maribel went over to Chagos, and our GM from Chagos, who used to be the GM at Maribel, went back to Maribel.
Now, that's quite a switch of concepts that they're running, kind of from fine dining to casual.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going?
Just did it. It's brand new, and I think I'm really excited about it. With GM Chagos, we had no idea what to expect, and we figured it would just be slammed and all this stuff, and then it's just different. And I think you have to look at personalities and people, and we just felt like we could put the right person in the right place. And it's always that's one of those tough decisions you make doing what I do or what you do, is having to be able to say, hey, this is going to work better. Then how do you go to those people and say, I'm going to uproot everything that you do, and I'm going to move you to a new side of town and a whole new staff. And is that cool? And to have people that were like, yeah, no, let's try it out, man. I'm all about
That's
it.
That's great.
To see the vision and to start executing it. But that's been a lot of time and energy and just thoughts and preparation to make that happen.
Sure.
So that's kind of what I've been doing in my world.
We'll stay tuned to hear how that's going.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be great.
So, and what's going on around town, Brandon? What are our hot topics right now? So we have some James Beard nominees.
Yes.
Since the last time we talked.
Three of them.
Kisser.
Locust. The four. There's four. Kisser. And then DeAndrews.
Yep.
Bakery. Were best new restaurant and the best outstanding bakery.
Yep.
And then two best chefs were Trevor and Arnold Mint.
That's right.
My next door neighbor got nominated for a James Beard Award.
Who's your neighbor?
Arnold Mint.
Oh, at
Chagos.
At Chagos.
He's directly next door to us at Chagos.
Yeah. I love Arnold's restaurant. I really do. That's a go-to for me and Tony for
it's delicious
date night. It's excellent. And what I love about it too is they have so many great things on the menu that like you can always go and get your favorites, but they are always mixing it up and always keeping it fresh. So I say very well deserved, and really just I think it's so lovely to see the way that Arnold and his sister are carrying on their family legacy in that neighborhood. I think it's great.
It is great. And Anna, Arnold's sister, is super sweet. She's super amazing. And I love being neighbors with them. Honestly, even they're really excited because like we have another bar next door to us. And so they've just been lovely. They've been lovely to work with, lovely to, it's nice to see them on a regular basis. Just stop by and say hi and, you know, the whole thing.
So a former James Beard nominee, Andy Little, it was just announced that he is the director of culinary for Strategic Hospitality.
Yes, that is a big news item. And I texted Max Goldberg the other day and I said, so you were in studio 3 weeks ago. And he goes, we have some big things on the horizon. I go, give me something. And I go, you couldn't have nothing. You give me nothing on this. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, it's a big get.
Great. It's so great. I love that for all of them.
It is. I don't know. I mean, they posted a picture of their team, and I was just looking at like their leadership team, and I was like,
all stars.
God bless. How do you fail with that team? I mean, it's impressive. I didn't know that they needed that many people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about how many places they're running. Come on.
Director of airports, director of hospitality, director of operations, director of this. It's like, man, there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
And you realize how hard Jordan's job is to wrangle everything and keep it all in place.
Jordan is one of the most impressive people I know, truly.
I said this in the interview with Max. I was like, Jordan has just been like she's so kind and she's like the nicest person.
She is. And you know, I've spent enough time with her over the years that she really is that nice. It's not, you know, it's not just a professional thing. We should have Jordan on the show.
I have thought about that.
That would be a great interview. Let's get her in here.
I've asked her many times.
She also, and let me say too, not only does she do so much for strategic, she's really involved with LADOM as well. I don't know where she finds the time or how she does it. Let's have her in the show just so she can give me some energy tips.
Let's do it. Jordan, you are on the clock. We're going to get you in here to do a show because we love you. There's been some new restaurants that have opened.
Let's hear it.
Have you been to Tio Fun yet?
No, but I really want to go. I love those guys, and it looks like such an awesome spot.
I did not make it over to the friends and family for that, and I'm like kicking myself because it looks amazing. I'm just looking over Eater Nashville's top. What is this thing right here? It is the hottest new restaurants in February 2024. What do you think they are?
Oh, God. I mean, definitely Tio Fun. I would say Rob Higgins Places, Supper Club, Jar, those spots. Those just open.
Bungalow 10.
Yep. We're going to have Rob on the show.
Yes, we're going to have Rob on the show. I think next week we're going to have Rob on the show. I love what he's doing in Hillsborough Village.
I do too. He's a great operator.
They've got Sabels. Are you familiar with Sabels?
Oh, actually, yes, I am.
Sabels?
Somebody who used to work with us worked there, I think, when kind of helped them get open.
They opened it back in September. Matt Minold and Stephanie Sabelli opened as 21 and over Inglewood Bar back in September. It's a new one. Bad Idea. Have you been to Bad Idea yet?
I haven't, but it's definitely at the top of the list. Have you been?
I did. I did go to the friends and family on this one, and Alex Birch was there pouring wine, doing the. It was one of those times where I genuinely hated the fact that I'm an alcoholic. Mm. Where he was pouring this wine for. I brought a friend who was a general manager of Mare Bowl. I brought him, and he was trying the wine, and I was just smelling it, which is never a good idea because when it's really good, you're like, "Oh, this is delicious," yeah. And you know you can't drink it. Cool ass place. It's in like an old church, and he has two like private dining rooms in the back, which were like green rooms for I don't know what they're. It's a really neat, beautiful spot. The food was good, drinks were good. I enjoyed my Pellegrino. Or
definitely at the top of the list for me. You know, I don't get out that much, but. You
went to Joe Muir, didn't you?
I did, actually. And I just say I don't get out that much, but I have been to Joe Muir. We were going to a show at Marathon and wanted to have a martini and a snack before the show, so we bopped by. I thought it was cool. It was a vibe. I mean, you definitely have to be into that kind of scene. It's got like very like Vegas steakhouse Sinatra throwback type of vibes. But I liked it.
What's your favorite? Like if you're going out, like what's your favorite place to go eat? Like if you're
Yolan, zero questions.
Okay.
It's not the everyday place. It's not in the budget, but I don't even have to think about it. I think it's one of the best restaurants in the country, not only in Nashville.
I do not disagree. Not one ounce of me disagrees.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Yolan. But if you're just going to go out, it's Tuesday night, you're just kind of hungry and you want to go eat, like what's your favorite type of food? Is it Italian food?
You know what? Oh God, I hate to say this, but I'm going to be honest. I hate to say this because I can't point to an independent place that is serving this style of cuisine.
Chewy's?
No. No. I can think of lots of great independent Mexican places. Mas Tacos, I go all the time, actually. I still go to Mas Tacos. I love it.
Rose pepper.
My favorite style of food to eat is tapas. I love Spanish, and I love tapas. So if I just am like looking for just a go-to, I love to go out for tapas. With that said, I was at the beginning of this saying international market, we go there a lot. That's a go-to for us. And it's not so much a dinner place, but the bar side of Bastion nachos are a dinner for me.
Bastion nachos are delicious.
That's a common meal for me. So, and I do a lot of DoorDash, probably more than I should. And my go-to DoorDash is one of two things, Otaku Ramen and Greco. Those are my top two DoorDashes.
I love it. So I don't, I've never do DoorDash. I don't do any of those things. No.
Did you take out ever?
No.
Do you cook every night?
No.
What do you just eat at the restaurant?
Yeah. I'll either eat at the restaurant or my wife will make something or I'll pick up sushi. We go to like Eastern Peak or there's a, another local place right on the street that does sushi. And so she'll call and we'll pick up like Panera for the kids and then I'll go pick up sushi. The Hawaii roll is my favorite over it.
Okay, speaking of sushi, I have a little bit of insider knowledge.
Ooh.
About a new concept that is coming to Nashville next year, allegedly, is Let Us Entertain You is bringing their sushi-san concept to Nashville, allegedly.
Let Us Entertain You?
Yeah. So Lettuce is the company that owns Maggiano's. They're probably nationally most well known for Maggiano's, but they also have, they have a ton of places. They have Shaw's is one of their concepts, if you're familiar with.
I'm not.
Shaw's, it's like a steak and seafood, kind of seafood heavy, steak and seafood, kind of throwback vibey. They're based out of Chicago, but they're pretty big operators. And even though they're a big corporation, they're really good operators. They have great concepts. Their restaurants are good. They're consistent. And Tony and I have a joke when we're in Chicago. And where we usually stay is very close to the Sushi-san in River North. And we always say, oh, there's this secret little neighborhood hidden gem sushi place that you've got to check out. You know, nobody knows about it. It's this kind of just a little haunt, my favorite little neighborhood haunt, Sushi-san.
Now everybody knows.
That's our dumb joke. It's a huge corporate place. But it's still, it's really good. It's really, really good.
So I don't know. Did you verify the layer cake news? Because Harper Steakhouse is now open. And that is done by Milkshake Concepts, which Imran Sheikh was on the show. He's the owner, and he owned Layer Cake.
So I saw somebody post on Facebook yesterday that Layer Cake is closed, that they got a reservation email saying, we're canceling your reservation because we're closed. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So that's unfair.
That's a pretty big deal.
That's a huge deal.
It's a big place downtown. We don't hear about big places downtown closing very often.
You don't hear about that. I wonder if they just have a different concept they're going to put in there. Same thing. They're just going to change it.
That's certainly possible. I'm not saying why they closed. I just said that it seems that they are, for the moment, closed. I don't know if this is a permanent closure. Maybe it's a temporary thing. Maybe they're doing some updates, renovations. I mean, you know, it is February. Maybe they're sprucing up for summer business. You know, now's a great time to close and do maintenance and repairs. I know a lot of places do that this time of year.
It's a thing. So I don't have knowledge that they have closed for good, but they were closed the other day for whatever the
correct
thing was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The supper club looks really cool. I'm looking at pictures of it right now.
In Hillsborough?
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
It looks really cool.
I'm excited to go.
I'm excited for Hillsborough Village to have some like good local places to go and hang out again.
Yeah.
Because it just...
Well, there's Fido, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Fido. And then there's like a... the Whirlies have...
Biscuit Love.
Biscuit Love. There's a Biscuit Love right there too. And then now there's the Supper Club and then the Bungalow 10. Cabana was such a really cool place when it first opened.
Never made it to Cabana.
You never made it to Cabana?
I did not.
Do you know what it was?
No.
Okay.
I know of it, and I've been past the building. But
do you know about the cabanas?
No, I was not here in the Cabana times.
Okay, so when you walk in, there's like a big open bar, big, you know, rectangular bar, and then all the way down the left side is a hallway that goes all the way to the back of the building, and all along the left, there were cabanas, and there were these big, huge booths that were like half moon booths, And then there was a curtain you could close, and there's a little TV in there. So you could rent a cabana.
Oh, that's cute.
So you'd go sit and like have dinner, but like your own private cabana where everybody can hang out and do your own thing. But it was all along this walkway. So if you wanted to leave it open and have your cabana, people could come by, and it was like a whole thing. And in the back area back there, there's this huge open air dining spot. There's a huge bar. You could put like a club back there. And that's what they've done with Jar.
Smart.
So their thing Jar is like the whole back side of it. And I don't know. I think it's just, I'm glad that somebody has repurposed it and made it cool again.
So I have a little bit of a confession. I originally thought that Supper Club and Bungalow and Jar were going to be on that strip by the Belcourt Theater.
Yeah.
But it's, I know now that that's not where it is. That's always been local restaurants on that strip mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, it used to be a place called The Trace. The Supper Club used to be a place called The Trace. Mm-hmm. I'm dating myself, but The Trace and Cabana and Sunset were like a triple-headed monster right there. You go hang out all night long. You could go to dinner at Sunset, go afterwards for drinks at Cabana or Trace, or have dinner at Trace and go to Cabana. Cabana was like the after you had dinner, mm-hmm. go there, and there was like party music in the back.
It's a vibe.
New Year's was really cool there. Every year we would do New Year's at Cabana. I used to live in Hillsborough Village. Mm-hmm. So it was like, mm-hmm. that was my backyard. So when you can walk somewhere, this is before the days of Uber. We're talking 12 years ago. It was, you wanted to go late night to the places you could walk to. And yeah. we could walk there. So sure. it was a whole thing.
Sure.
Oh, the good old days. Hillsborough Village, and you could walk to bars that you wanted to go to. All right, what else we got here? Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors, and we will jump right back in. At What Chefs Want, they deliver the 7 most needed product lines to meet the unique needs of chefs and restaurateurs. From local to global, and from staple items to gourmet rarities, they have the variety of products to cover all of your needs. Produce, seafood, meats, gourmet, staples, to-go, and dairy. At What Chefs Want, they're transforming food service by eliminating minimum orders, offering split cases, and providing daily deliveries with 24/7 customer support. This means chefs have the flexibility to order what they need when they need it. Experiment with new ingredients and keep their kitchens consistently stocked with fresh supplies. It's all about empowering culinary creativity while streamlining operations. Check them out at whatchefswant.com or give them a call at 800-600-8510. Unleash the Wolf with Campo Bravo Tequila. Campo Bravo is a 100% agave tequila with a bold, smooth flavor, perfect for sipping neat as a shot or in cocktails. Campo Bravo is also certified additive-free, which means there are no artificial flavors or sweeteners in Campo Bravo like there are in many other brands. Campo Bravo gives you all the bold, smooth flavor you want in a tequila with nothing you don't. Campo Bravo is actually truly farm-to-bottle tequila, meaning our fifth-generation agave farmers meticulously control entire production process from the farm to the bottle to give you the highest quality handcrafted tequila. Order through Best Brands, and please remember to drink responsibly. We are supported by Robbins Insurance, a local insurance agency providing customized insurance policies, sound guidance, and attentive service. Robbins Insurance is the go-to agency for hospitality professionals in Nashville. Listen, Robbins knows how hard industry professionals work every single day. They also know how devastating accidents can be. Be it a grease fire that damages the kitchen, a severe storm that cuts off power, or a customer slip and fall incident. But with the extensive experience and the savvy to create a policy that protects your business from accidents like those, you can rest easy knowing that the work you've put in will not be for nothing. Visit Robin's website at robbinsins.com to request a consultation or call Matthew Clements directly. His number is 863-409-9372. Protection you can trust. That's Robbins. That's it. That's all I got. What other big stories are out there that you have heard about?
You know, I feel like there's always, like for the last couple of years at least, there seems to always be this like restaurant hospitality industry story of the moment, right? There's always this like big attention getting topic that everybody's zeroing in on, right? So I think that for a while it was labor, right? That there was like such an issue with labor and you know, wages and fair treatment of employees in the hospitality industry. And then, you know, certainly not that that's been resolved, but I think a lot of restaurants fell in line and made changes because of that, right? I think that last summer we talked about this kind of, you know, ad nauseum on this show. It was tipping and mm-hmm. tipping culture, you know, and I don't think that conversation's completely gone away, but it seems to have died down a little bit.
At least on this show it has.
We've exhausted the topic. On to the next. So now what do you think is the topic du jour of hospitality?
I can tell you what it is for me.
Tell me.
Manufacturing sales.
Okay.
Elaborate. Well, I think there's so much you can do to manage operations, right? So there's two different theories, and I look at it like kitchen labor, right? Do you have a percentage of kitchen labor you try and stick by?
We have an overall labor percentage that we try to stay.
It's a percentage of what?
Of my sales.
Right? Yeah. So there's two things you can do when it comes to that. Your sales are down. You can reduce your labor, send people home, do all that stuff. Or what's the other antidote? You increase sales. I think so many people have been focused on how do we react to what the market conditions are, that we've been focused on managing everything down to reflect what it is. And I'm saying, let's spend that same time and energy and focus on getting new business.
Growing sales.
Let's grow the sales. Because look, these are employees that we want to pay a livable wage that I want them to, I don't want to just start reducing their hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, cutting their hours doesn't help them. Right. I'd rather spend that time and energy on building sales. So that's been my everyday thought, is how do we increase sales and not just give shit away? I'm talking about profitable sales. Like, yeah. how do you build sales organically, or not just organically, but like, how do you go out and get it? And so that's been my every single week brainstorming new ideas and ways. And I think that we're figuring stuff out.
You got a great new idea?
No, I think that we, giving back to, it's focusing on your community.
Yeah.
You know, we have done really well at Green Hills Grill and Mirabel because our community shows up so strong.
Yeah.
And
you guys stay very consistent.
We stay very consistent because I'm not waiting for tourists. I'm not waiting for the next thing for people to figure us out. Like, we serve the people we serve and they love it and we love them. And so can we add to that, or can we double down on that? And a lot of those are come in the form of like, I know you guys do this for your community, but like spirit nights.
Oh yeah. We work a lot throughout the year, and over the years with Sylvan Park Elementary, who's kind of close to our neighborhood. We work with their PTA we'll do a Sylvan Park Elementary pizza night where you come in and like a dollar from every pizza will go back to the PTA, and we have done spirit night, that kind of stuff. So yeah, for sure.
We try and do that every Monday night at Green Hills Grill. We do a different school or charity or something. We donate 10% of all of our sales.
It's a good idea.
And so that's just one of those little things. Like, if we can find one night of the week that we can give back to the community, and it's not just the people that you bring in, it's every single guest that dines. So if you live in the Green Hills area and you're wondering where to go eat on Monday night, you go, oh, well, Monday night, I'm in Green Hills. Let's go to the grill because we'll be helping a school. Mm-hmm. 10% of our sales at the grill goes towards whoever they're helping tonight. And we try and have one every single Monday night.
Well, and I think families stay really engaged in those as well, you know.
Well, so, I mean, A, you get to give back to the schools. And B, the schools do marketing for you, mm-hmm. right? So getting new butts and seats, getting new people to come try your food. If you have a new thing ever, then the schools are bringing their entire group of people into your restaurant. You're introducing a lot of new people to the restaurant, totally. And you're able to help them. So like, it's a win-win all the way around. So that's something that we're focusing on in all three restaurants. It's a little more difficult at Mirabel because you're like, hey, come out for dinner. And you know, it's typically a little more expensive.
Sure.
For just a family of four to come eat.
Sure.
So I'm thinking like brunches. We have like Sunday nights. We just reopened Sunday nights. It's another big one for us. Is we open Sunday nights at Mirabel, and so we're doing a different menu on Sunday nights, like a little more of a chill, laid-back menu. So we're working on different things, but yeah, like stuff like that.
We've toyed around with the idea of doing like maybe a like a weekday dinner deal type of thing. You know, we quit doing $10 Tuesday a while ago, which I will say was our most successful promotion. But we prices have gone up so much, our cost of goods has gone up so much that we had to switch it to a $15 Tuesday, and that just really never hit for us. But we also, you know, couldn't do the $10 Tuesday anymore. Things have gotten too expensive. And you know, I kind of think that for us, to me at least, it seems that that is the topic du jour in hospitality, is the price of things. I feel like I'm hearing so much in the world, in the general conversation around restaurants right now, about prices and about how much things cost. And there was a article, excuse me, in Bon Appetit a couple of weeks ago that said high prices have taken the joy out of dining in restaurants. And I thought it was a really interesting article. And we actually put up a survey on our Nikki's Instagram to our customers. And we said, are you dining out less because of high prices? Not at Nikki's specifically, but just in general. In general, are you going out less because it's too expensive? And overwhelmingly, more than 90% of people responded and said, yes, I'm dining out less because of prices. We followed it up by saying, if you're dining out less for another reason, what is the other reason? And I really only got like two responses to that. And they were both women who said, I just had a baby, but I can't wait to go back out. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of an outlier. That's not a...
Is anybody still concerned with COVID?
No, that was not on anybody's radar.
Nobody's concerned about going out in public. And
no.
I still, like once every month or two, I get people like, this is our first time out since COVID. We're really? Highly...
Oh, not me.
People that are still testing the waters.
No, that we don't see that at all. So we have, you know, of course it's January, February, you see that big slowdown, but we're always looking for what's new and for what's next. So we have decided, I think we're going to try something a little bit unprecedented for Nikki's, something that we've never done before. And it's a little nerve-wracking because it is kind of a big leap. You know, we...
I don't have a drum roll. I'm waiting for...
No. Don't, like... no drum roll. No. It's not that big of a deal. But, you know, I feel like we've taken some big leaps in the past and it's worked out well for us. You know, so during the pandemic, we switched to counter service. That was a huge leap. But it worked out well. And over the summer, we eliminated tipping and we instituted a service charge. And fortunately, that has worked out well. But at the time, it felt like a huge gamble. It was a scary leap to take. So we've decided we're going to take another big leap and try for the first time since we opened the restaurant, we are going to lower menu prices. No, don't do that.
The public loves it.
Okay.
They're very excited about that.
All right.
You're going to lower prices?
We are going to lower prices. And our cost of goods sold has not gone down. Let me be clear. We are not lowering prices because we have had prices lowered.
I thought you were going to say, we have GFS now, and they are doing such a damn good job. We're lowering all of our prices.
Well, I will say Gordon is doing a great job for us. That's not it. But our, you know, our food costs have not gone down. But our hope is that by lowering prices on some of our favorite menu items, some of our most popular menu items, we will begin to see some of our customers more frequently. Because I think a lot of people are saving up to dine out as opposed to dining out several times a week like they used to. So our hope is that the appeal of the lower prices will allow people to dine out and come in more frequently. You know, we're a neighborhood restaurant, so I don't know. Stay tuned. We'll see how that works out.
So we're doing the same thing. You're trying to figure out how to get more people in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like while pricing is a massive issue, really the issue here is guest counts.
Yes.
I mean, that's the big issue to me right now is guest counts. Like, where is everybody going? And if they're staying home, that's one thing. But
I mean, like,
there's enough people going out. If I could get people from,
I feel like we did okay for Valentine's reservations, but I do feel like it was slower this year than it has been in recent years. It wasn't that thing of like, we're sold out, we're packed, everybody's calling trying to get a table and we don't have one. And I feel like I'm hearing that from other people too. Did you guys see a little kind of like a little less energy around Valentine's? Or I don't know, your places are so consistent, so I feel like that's a hard question.
It's about the same.
Yeah.
You know, we're really creatures that people come, these type days are made for us, right? For Maribel specifically, like Valentine's Day, fancy restaurant and a home that like, this is, we're made like for this sort of thing. The Monday through Thursday business. Now I was anticipating more business on the weekends surrounding Valentine's Day. And I didn't see that. I mean, maybe there was a slight uptick, but I mean, we were consistent with last year sales across the board. And I was wondering if we would get a boost the week on bookend, both weekends around the Valentine's Day in the middle of the week.
Which one's busier, before or after?
Before.
Okay, see, I couldn't decide this year because Valentine's on a Wednesday. I couldn't decide, was it the before or the after? But I feel like Super Bowl, being that Valentine's Saturday, really kind of took the air out of it a little bit.
It did. Well, obviously, Sunday was, we closed.
Oh, yeah, we're closed for Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's not a thing. And you know, I see this back now. The weekend after might be the way to go. The weekend after thing, you know, Valentine's Day. We're recording this right before Valentine's Day. This will come out the weekend right after. So I think it's the weekend after Valentine's Day is where you really want to focus.
Yeah, I don't know. Remains to be seen, I guess. It feels like a weird start to the year. So I'm really hoping that this gamble we're taking with lowering prices pays off. But I feel I'm hesitating now because obviously we're on a podcast. You can't see it. But I feel like when I first said that, you made a face, Brandon. So I feel like you don't think this is a good idea.
Listen, bring people in the building. But I stand here as a firm believer in raising your prices. I stand here as a firm believer that the general public decides too much how much people charge for their food. And there's a math problem that goes to this. You have to decide how much profit you need to make in order. There's overhead, there's labor, there's all these other things. You have to know what your cost is in the food, and then you have to charge appropriately. So when the squeaky wheel, it's not the situation. Maybe it is the situation. The squeaky wheel gets the oil kind of a thing. It's like, it doesn't matter how much people complain about prices or they raise their hand and go, this is too expensive. It's all relative. And maybe the world is too expensive. But when you lower prices, I think I don't want to send the message that, hey, we can all lower our prices. We're just being greedy out there. Look what Nikki's done. And maybe you're the first person to jump into it. I think it might be brilliant, but I think it's a double-edged sword from when you're looking at the entire scope of this industry. So many people out there already have their prices so low that they don't, like, they need to raise their prices because they feel like this all the time. You guys have done a really good job of maintaining the market and getting what you need to get and not being afraid of that. So I think that for you coming back and saying, hey, look, we're going to lower some prices on the big, as a, we love our community kind of a thing. We're going to take less of a margin. And if we get three times the people that come out and they're able to come into Nikki's and break bread and be together, then it makes sense to us because at the end of the day, it'll be the same. Right. Yeah. So if we lower our prices and we see three times the volume, then it makes sense. And we get to have more people in the building and it's happy and my staff makes more. That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
People hearing this going, oh, if I just lower my prices and then all of a sudden the trend, if you're starting a trend of people trying to lower their prices, that could be dangerous because some people don't have the ability to lower their prices right now.
Totally. And I'll be honest, like, we don't have the ability to lower our prices right now. We really don't. But we also, I don't know. I think this is probably not the best business strategy, but sometimes we just feel this like stagnant energy and we feel a need to like shake it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes that leap, that kind of big thing that is just going to shake up the energy. And listen, here's the thing. The reality is we're going to give this a try. We've only got a few weeks until we do our spring menu change. And if it doesn't hit in the first couple of weeks, then we're probably not going to be able to maintain those prices once we do the spring menu change. But I'm hopeful.
When will this start? Can we announce it right now on the show that you're doing this?
I don't know exactly. Yes. By the time this airs, it will have happened. When is this airing? Monday?
Monday.
Yeah. It will. I think it's launching this weekend.
Okay. So Valentine's weekend.
The weekend after Valentine's
Day. The 17th and 18th.
Is when we're planning on launching. 14,
15, the 17th and 18th?
Yep.
Okay. So this will be out on the 19th.
Yeah.
So go to Nikki's tonight and go experience a little bit more affordable menu. And let's see what
I just feel like we've done a lot of things that we never thought we would do. And really, we have had success with most of those things. And I look back and the earlier days of the restaurant when we did the things that kind of on paper felt like seemed like the right thing to do didn't pay off for us the way that the things that, I don't know, were kind of outside the box have worked. So maybe that just goes to show I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. So when I don't trust my instincts.
You know what you're doing so well. Do you know what you're doing so much? You're expanding into a new space. I read in the paper the other day that
you
have a new event space. Will you tell us all about this?
I will. Sorry to make the show the Nikki's show, but
hey, why don't you take wait 1 minute before you do this? Let's take one more break to hear from our sponsors, and you can tell us all about it right when we get back from this break. Hey guys, let's talk about The Nation's Brewing, and more importantly, Fat Bottom Brewery. Founded in 2012 in East Nashville, remember the old Fluffo mattress building? That is Fat Bottom. Their tap room is in The Nation's. They are one of the OG Nashville breweries. They are the beer next door. They pride ourselves on making true-to-style, approachable beers that everyone can enjoy. And let me tell you, you're in for a treat this February because they have a new beer, the Hazel Hazy IPA. This is available to the market in the end of February, which is coming up very soon. It's low on bitterness with a big hop aroma and distinct haze. Notes of orange marmalade and white peach make Hazel subtly sweet. It is a super easy to drink IPA. It is available in draft and 12-ounce cans, and they just launched it this last weekend at Pints and Puppies at the brewery. So this is a really amazing brewery, and if you are not into drinking, the big product that we are now selling is Hop Fizz, sparkling water with hops and natural flavors. The brewmaster's recipe eliminates grains, carbs, and alcohol from the traditional beer recipe. Because nothing ferments, there's no alcohol to remove, making Hop Fizz a truly 0.0 ABV. Zero calories, zero alcohol, all natural. You get these products through Debt Distributing, or you can go sample them right there in their tap house, right there in The Nation's. Please enjoy responsibly. Y'all, today we are talking, as always, about Supersource. And you know, one cool thing about Supersource is, did you know that they develop most of their cleaning products and chemicals in their in-house facility? They're environmentally conscious and only use dyes that are safe for the employees and the environment. They carry a number of products for keeping your dishes, flatware, surfaces, floors, restrooms, laundry, basically your entire facility clean, bright, and smelling and feeling new. This is just one of the many reasons Supersource is taking over this city for dish machine and chemicals. You need to call Jason Ellis. His number is 770-337-1143. And he would love it if you would give him a call and let him come down and just check out your operation, meet him, say hi, see if there's any way he can help. He is here to help you succeed. That's Jason Ellis with Supersource, 770-337-1143. Charpier's Bakery is a locally owned and family operated wholesale bakery providing bread to Nashville's best eateries. They've been operating in Nashville since 1986, providing high quality, fresh bread daily for restaurants, catering companies, hospitals, and universities. Their bread is free from preservatives and artificial additives. Learn more at charpiers.com. That's charpiers.com.
Or you can give Erin Mosso a call directly. Her number is 615-319-6453. That's Charpier's Bakery.
Space, I read in the paper the other day that have a new event space. Will you tell us all about this?
I will. Sorry to make the show the Nikki's show, but we just announced our new project, the Maxwell Room, which is our new private events venue.
Why is it called the Maxwell Room? Does it just sound fancy?
Well, I thought it sounded very
regal.
Nice. Like, it sounds a little more elegant, right? Without being stuffy. But you know, everything at Nikki's is kind of based on family. Nikki is my brother-in-law. Enrico, our oven, is Tony's grandfather. We've got family photos on the wall. So Maxwell is my nephew who just turned one.
Oh,
Yeah. Tony's brother, Chris, and our sister-in-law, Andrea. It's their son, Maxwell. He's our first nephew in the Galzin family.
Nice.
So we wanted to keep the family tradition alive. And I think that it sounds really nice. I think it's got a good ring to it.
Really
although
does.
I will say, being in Nashville, I've gotten quite a few emails inquiring about the Maxwell house. So that's just going to happen. But it is the Maxwell Room. But it's adjacent to Nikki's. It's its own completely private space. It's got its own entrance, its own everything. And we can accommodate 80 seated and 100 for cocktail. And we are booking up. I will tell you, here's the craziest thing. We had a really slow January. February's picking up a little bit. But just kind of our day-to-day business has cooled off a little bit. But our events business is going nuts. Maybe everybody's doing events this year and they're saving their money for that. I don't know. But
our event business is
same.
Great.
Yeah.
Over at Maribel.
I feel like people are back to doing events now even more than that first like post-pandemic boom.
Do you know what we get? I get a ton of people who are shocked that we call them back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess so many people, and we use a company, they're not a sponsor, but Triple Seat is who we use to book everything.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. It makes it so much easier. But we get back to people like the day that they submit an inquisition where they're like, hey, we're curious about this day. Like, we call them back immediately and we're excited that they want to do the party with us. And you'd be shocked at how many people are like, I can't get people to call me back.
Listen, I am not a gatekeeper by any means, but the one place where I do not like to share my information and trade secrets is with how we do events internally. But I will go for sure say that we hear that more than anything. Is I think that part of the reason we book so many events is because I am Johnny on the spot responding to event inquiries. I mean, truly. And I hear that from a lot of people. I reached out to so many people. Can't believe you got back to me so fast. I haven't heard back from half of these people.
Yeah.
You know, so that is a big, that's a huge key to success for us.
So if you're out there and you have an event business, call people back.
And if you're out there and you don't have an event business, but you want one, I'm available for consulting.
If you want those nuggets of information, you can have them, but they're not free.
For a price.
For a price. She'll share them all with you.
Yeah, but event business is good. And you're right, it is. I think customer service is a huge part of it.
People don't expect service anymore.
I think that, you know, kind of we were talking about the hot topic is pricing, but I do feel like service and hospitality is also a big piece of that conversation that I'm hearing a lot. People aren't going out because it's too expensive. People aren't going out because it's mediocre. People aren't going out because it's, you know, people aren't friendly anymore. So we have, you know, that's another kind of thing we're doing this year. It's not a splashy announcement, but internally we're really, really kind of digging in deeper with some staff training and hospitality training and trying to make sure that those standards are elevated in the new year.
Yeah. In the book Unreasonable Hospitality, which I think I try and bring up in every interview, he says like luxury and indulgence is completely different than thoughtfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a guest come in, it's their anniversary, you can easily buy them a bottle of Veuve or a bottle of whatever you want to, and then give them caviar. And that's a very nice gesture.
I'll take it.
But identifying what type of cake they had at their wedding and giving them a customized cake at the end of their meal with that type of cake, if it's a red velvet, and then with their name on it, and like, hey, we found out that at your wedding, you guys had red velvet cakes. We wanted to make you your very own red. Like, that could be a tenth the price, but it means so much more. Just being thoughtful, like thoughtful is everything. And I think that we get so caught up every day in the act of just doing and, oh, they want something for free, that it's there's a whole mind shift set that says, how do we just be authentic and make these people really happy? What are some things can we learn if we listen?
Yeah.
And we learn about them, we can probably do something pretty custom.
You know, I share a Canva, the like graphic design thing. So I share a Canva account with all of my managers at the restaurant. And I went into Canva the other day to make something, and I saw where somebody had made a birthday card that said like happy birthday from Nikki's, and it had their name on it, and it wasn't from a private event. And I didn't even know about this, but I guess just one of my managers decided kind of on the fly, found out it was somebody's birthday, and like went in real quick, printed out a birthday card, and like gave it to them with our logo. I'm like, oh, it's just the best. It's the best. That's the end of my event secrets for the day. I'm just joking. No, that's not really an event secret.
Last thing, I know we got to get going here. Rosemary and Beauty Queen had a fire.
Oh God. Yes, that's right. Now I will say, luckily it looks like their entire building did not burn down, but they have not been able to operate. This is a pretty devastating fire.
Oh, it looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like the fire was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I believe that just a couple nights ago, there was an event that was held to help them raise money.
Yes. I saw a Charlotte Miller post about that.
There's been a lot of restaurants that have been reaching in to help out. There's a GoFundMe you can help their staff at. I'm sure they'll get insurance money and all that stuff. I think in the meantime, they're just trying to figure it out.
It's not like it's not like you have a fire and then the insurance company shows up the next day with a check. You know how long that shit takes? I know people who are still waiting on insurance checks from the tornado.
Oh.
Yeah.
From the this past tornado or like...
Mm-hmm. No. The 2020 tornado.
The 2020 tornado?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about this? I'm still waiting on a check from the IRS for my ERTC from 2020. Still waiting.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I know several people who just got it like last summer. I don't know anybody else who hasn't gotten it yet, though, except for me. Lucky me.
Well,
and it's a large.
I'll know amount. Next time you show up skipping that you got it.
Oh, that's for sure.
All right. Well, hey, fun impromptu episode today. Just talking about what's happening out there in the community. If you have ideas as to what we should be talking about right here on the roundup, just tag us. Tag us in your post on Instagram or use the hashtag the roundup. And hashtag the roundup, and I will see it because I follow that hashtag. And if you have a news topic, something you want us to talk about, I want to get back to doing this episode once a month where we have topics and maybe bring in a guest that talks about it. And we had a lot of fun last year talking about tipping and all the things. And do you like playing the games at the end of the episodes? Are those fun?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
All right.
Depends.
I like it. We'll try and make it all the times. Yes.
We should have like a secret code word when it's like, it's time to play a game.
Mistletoe.
Mistletoe.
You know, if this studio had mistletoe. Oh. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Caroline, thanks for, it's always good to see you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you are here. Back. Excited about your new event
Thank
space.
You so much.
Can't wait to learn more about it.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys later. And thank you for listening today. If you wanted to submit a email to me with a new jingle for the intro to the show, please send it to brandon@newlighthospitality.com. You can also send anything if you come up with a design for the cover for the roundup. We would love to see that. Once the hashtag, the roundup, and then a way I can put a date in there, because then the roundup is going to be, this will be hashtag the roundup 2/19/24. So if I'd be able to adjust it, I just got to add a date. Whatever else you think would be in there, be really cool. That's all I got. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back next week, the brand new episode with Rob Higgins. He is the owner of the Supper Club. He's also the owner of Bungalow 10 and Jar over in Hillsborough Village. This is a fun conversation. I cannot wait to share it next Monday. You got it. Guys, hope that you're being safe out there. Love you guys.